Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get Granny out of the back room and gather around the iPhone. It's probably plugged into something so you can all listen to This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest, and here we go.
That's right. Got a very special guest today. Reminder, everybody, please go to Dr.com, check out the other podcasts there. We got Weekly Infusion, we got me and Corolla, and sign up at the contact list, and we will try to answer your questions here on this show.
Yeah.
This one's a good one for answering questions and stuff. But I want to get right to our guest, who I'm very privileged.
I'm very excited. Been waiting 2 months
Which
or a month or whatever, however long it's been.
Fantastic to know Farrah Abraham from Teen Mom and Teen Mom OG and 16 and Pregnant. And Farrah, who knew that Bob Forrest was one of your biggest fans?
There you are, Farrah.
Oh, I didn't know. Thanks for having me. Hello. How are you guys?
It's so great to talk with you. I've got a million questions.
And so, Farrah,
what's the number one question?
The number one question is, well, you're...
Wait.
There's like two number one questions.
You get new one. First, let's set this all up. Where are you now, Farrah?
I am up in Pittsburgh right now.
What are you doing?
Catching on here with you guys.
She's got something going on,
right,
Drew, I'm telling you.
No, I know, and Bob is very impressed by that. You are
an entrepreneur.
That I am.
and she's been that since I first met her. Back when she was 17, she was talking about opening a restaurant in San Jose. And I know, you know, we'll get into your mom and stuff as we go along, but that is something you did get from your mom, wouldn't you say?
I would say so, yeah. Both my parents, both my mom and my dad, they were always talking about business, always into new endeavors, and their friends also, you know, owners of restaurants and different things. So I think I was just brought up kind of, and I think it's just in my genes, really, if you go back and look at all my family and, you know, for me starting my first lemonade stands and all my little businesses growing up, I love doing that stuff.
And I've never asked you this, but did you perform well academically in school? Till the baby?
To be honest with you, I mean, like, I just loved everything. But no, brutally honest with myself, was I ever really that gifted in math or everything else? No, I wasn't.
But you're smart. So was that just you weren't attentive or you were depressed or anything?
See, we can call it smart here. The code for between me and Drew in front of clients and people is called horsepower.
Yeah, you got
Drew
horsepower.
Drew came up. You have horsepower.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of horsepower on Celebrity Rehab or Teen Mom.
Well, how dare you, first of all. Don't disparage
it. So when horsepower appears, you're like, oh my God, I don't have a lot of horsepower in that thing that Farrah has. So part of it is envy, like, God, if I had that go-getter attitude where I could be in life after 6 years of Celebrity Rehab, and there's other clinicians that were on there that have just leapfrogged, that were barely on it.
Yeah.
Who?
Sherry has made a whole career based on it.
Yeah.
I just don't have that go-getterism.
Well, we also don't have that self-promotional stuff.
Yeah, I call it go-getterism.
It's a little different. If I didn't have Susan, I'd
go-getterism.
But I think Farrah, even if she weren't on a TV show, would be out there building businesses and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Doing something.
So go ahead and back now to your first question.
Okay, so Farrah, just so you know, my partner, wife, whatever you want to call it these days,
baby mama.
We just.
Bob is a baby mama too.
And there's classifications and categories, so I could figure it out.
So she has a a master's in education. She teaches. She's taught in the most horrible schools in California. She's a counselor now in the El Monte School District. She, when she got pregnant, she became obsessed with Teen Mom. And I've seen this with a business partner of mine whose wife has a doctorate in nursing. She got pregnant and became obsessed with Teen Mom. And we're sitting there like, what is it about pregnancy that makes highly educated women obsessed with Teen Mom?
And I would argue it's not just pregnant women, but go ahead, Farrah. What's your take on that?
It's weird to me that even, you know, kids like 13, 14 are even interested in that. I don't even understand that myself, but a lot of, like, I did an appearance last night up here in Pittsburgh, and a lot of them were older mothers, and they said that they had just started watching the show because they had a child, et cetera, et cetera. I hear that all the time. I don't know why they take the energy and time to watch a show when everything is kind of different. So to answer the question, do I know that answer? No. Do I understand that? No.
But I am very enthralled.
With, like, them being moms, and they're like, look, I think I have a connection because now I'm a mom, you're a mom. I would love to talk about those things. I think it's just common interest rather than a TV show.
Bob asked me a question and I couldn't answer. Who walks up to you in an airport and says, I'm a fan? What kind of person?
Well, the other day it was, mostly a lot of teens or younger adults, and they just wanted to wish that I had a happy day and say hi to me and take a picture.
So that's
and they
just
didn't
fame.
Have kids.
That's just fame bullshit. But I'm talking about who really gets obsessed with it.
Well, I've noticed that there's a certain amount of schadenfreude. They love to sit in judgment of
that's
the
team.
That's
not moms. What's going on but, with Chrissy
Yes, they do.
I know, but if you look on social media, they just particularly, I'd say, Fair, you and Janelle and maybe Kayla now, so that you guys get a lot of like this brutality on social media is really crazy
from the fame kids. But I'm saying, I think, because I've studied it, Farrah, the last year, I think it's something to do with millennials' dysfunctional relationships with their mothers. I think that they relate to that.
That's interesting.
I think they definitely relate to that. I think more people need to focus on that and talk about that. I think that's why I started the WeTV Family Boot Camp show that's on every Friday nights right now. And I was just so passionate of showing this because I feel like everybody's like, oh, I don't get along with my mom. But, you know, like you see Kendra Wilkinson and her mom. To some degree, they actually definitely get along. When it's like my mom and I, it's like sometimes I hate you, I want to kill you. And there's really a ton of love under there, but there's a lot of dysfunction. And I grew up with a lot of those relationships around me, even though I had amazing, you know, role modeled mother and daughter relationships too. But it just hurt me so bad growing up seeing, like, what is this abusiveness? Why are we catering to this? And why aren't some people doing more about it? And yes, so that's why, you know, it was brought up that I've called the police on my mom and all this abuse and mugshots and those things. I feel like enough people aren't just trying to, like, talk about it. And I think the other day they were saying, oh, well, now Farrah's adding popularity to the topic, like teen pregnancy, rather than helping, like glamorizing, you know, bad mother daughter relationships. And they've said that about teen pregnancy, but I'm not glamorizing. I want to help this issue that is, those are like social topics.
Okay. I believe you when you say that. And, you know, you've been participating in television and you can see from your perspective the impact it has. And Bob, I'm here to tell you that the Teen Mom show has measurable impact on teen pregnancy in this country, and billions of dollars and vats of ink have been spilled on legislation trying to affect teen pregnancy. Media and culture profoundly affects our behavior, way more than we seem to realize. Farrah's onto something here. So she is saying, so now she's on this show to try to talk about abuse and parents. Now, is that really coming out? I'm sorry, I haven't seen the series. Is that coming out to the extent that you think it's in the same manner in which Teen Mom has had an impact? Do you think it'll have the same impact on people looking at their parenting relationships?
Yes, family behaviors and improving them. I mean, that's what I'm pushing for. And I know that the ratings are killing it right now, doing really amazing.
Okay.
So I hope it gets on with other families in different scenarios. But yes, Dr. V and Dr. Ish have done an amazing job highlighting those things that we do that add to the negatives where we sit in our arguments, in our bickering. So, and I always think, you know, if you're looking for a best friend, even accountability, loyalty, trust, you have to grow those, and it's by your actions. It's not by what you say. And I think sometimes that's where my family and I, we get off.
Well, no. They can't grow out of, see, my whole take on this new parenting, I'm not a big fan, is the best friend. I started noticing it in like 2004, 2005. I don't know if you remember, we had a mom and daughter in detox together, and they were best friends. And I was
they were celebrities.
Like, best friends.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, best friends? What the hell is that?
How can you
be best friends with your mother? The whole thing is you're supposed to be mentored and prepared for adult life and then go on.
Listen to this, and I'm going to let
But remember, but Dr. Drew, right?
Yeah.
If you become a best friend as a parent, that means somewhere internally there's not real functionality of a parent in there.
That's right.
So it substitutes as a friend.
That's it.
Fair.
That's
you say some of the profound stuff sometimes. And I'm sorry that a lot of it doesn't get on TV, so I'm glad we're here talking about this. Absolutely. It's also discomfort with authority, discomfort with being an adult, discomfort with being a parent. That's absolutely
how
true.
How about one now, of the problems let me say I have something. Is the pancake idea. The millennials like pancakes. They don't like authority. They don't like chains of command. In businesses, like we had Khalil here, you have to act like everybody's equal.
Okay, so let me tell you.
So when moms and daughters are equal, that's where it begins.
Okay, so let me tell you what I was complaining about college administrators also being uncomfortable with their authority. And that's because they were raised in the 60s and 70s when it was all about, hey, man, don't trust authority, fight authority. You can relate to
that. Yeah.
And so now they are the authority, and they're very uncomfortable with that role. And so they let these kids run amok at college campuses. And then they go, hey, you're 19. We're getting this together. Stop it.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up. So they don't do that. So a college professor called me, and he said, you know, I've been a professor for 30 years, and here's what I think is happening. He goes, during our days in college, freedom was the rallying cry. Freedom. We wanted free. We wanted to tunnel out of our parents' house. Remember Peter Fonda? We want to be free. Free to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
Remember that speech?
Well, I was in my senior year of high school, I had my own apartment. I achieved freedom.
Okay, so hold on. The millennials, which Farrah is sort of leading edge of, they want tolerance. Tolerance to all things. Pancake. Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Everything's about tolerance. And it's a weird conflict with us who want freedom.
Acceptance. So
tolerance and acceptance.
So I'm doing – so, Farrah, you've made some mistakes in life. So you're making some mistakes. Your mother is supposed to say, hey, you're making mistakes.
Yeah.
I made those – you can identify however you want. I made those same mistakes. I don't want you to make those same mistakes. But when you want your parent – and I notice this all the time with the addicts I deal with. They want their parents to accept the mistakes that they made.
Tolerance. Tolerance. Tolerate anything I lay on you.
It's weird.
But here's the difference. I mean, I understand where both of you are looking at
tell us.
This.
Yeah, tell us.
And I think I was just speaking with one of my friends. She has a teen daughter who is 5 months pregnant right now. And I'm actually like here with them in Pittsburgh. I've noticed one thing. If you lie, it's a lie. People, you know, and then there's an action. There's two things. And I think when you're saying tolerance, freedom, and all that, and it's just a pot and mixture, but I start it with like lies. How do you tolerate the lies and then continue on with lies? There's an action, and then there's like just saying those things.
Yeah.
How much can you tolerate of a lie or your bad choices? I don't think you should.
Well, I think
that,
I think,
and
but
I think it's because now I'm like running businesses.
I think it's intolerable.
No, I don't think you should. I don't think you should tolerate any of that. But I think millennials think somehow that ought to be tolerated, and they're uncomfortable
and
when it isn't.
Millennials' parents are incapable of tolerating watching their children suffer.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So if you're going to make a mistake, and I'm going to point it out to you as a parent, as a dad, like, hey, that's going to lead you in a really wrong direction. And you say, well, I just want you to understand that I did this because of this reason.
Yeah.
You go, I don't give a fuck why you did it.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in
The kids are acting out and explaining themselves like that because the parent wasn't developing their child properly in their communication style.
Yeah.
For that even to start, it started with the parents and their interaction with them.
Well, now, let me,
and what
let,
they're modeling.
I totally, I completely agree with you, Farrah. Now, I'm going to say something that I'm.
He's trying to say in the right
way.
Well,
no, because I don't want anybody to get that hurt. And Farrah and I have an interesting relationship, and it's confusing to her because I am a physician and I am available to them for advice, but I just host a show twice a year where I talk to them. And mm-hmm. Farrah got a little confused about that, and I don't blame her. It's really, we need to clarify these boundaries.
Celebrity rehab probably caused you to do that.
Who knows? but I'm gonna say something now that is a boundary issue, and we can pull it out of the show if you want. But I've been worried. Okay, so I've been worried about. I've been just looking at your mom and sort of, you know, gotten to know her over the years too, and I'm worried there's something mm-hmm. psychiatrically going on there that's not being properly managed. Am I onto something?
Or assessed.
What's that?
Or assessed, managed. Yes. But you know, I guess she dates a doctor. So there that goes.
Well,
you just get some Xanax and you'll be all right.
No, well, you're right. That guy, whoever he is, should not be managing her psychiatric condition. But I'm thinking there's something really there that you've been pounding against your whole life, and your mom isn't aware it's there, and it's of a psychiatric nature, and not psychological, but almost like really biological. And you're wanting something from her that she just can't do because of this biology. Am I onto something here?
Yeah, no, that is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what I know now. And I'm, you know, I'm done with the conversations. I'm done with fighting the uphill battle. And it's and that's what I'm saying. Some of the children who are dealing with things, it's because there's other things going on with their parents.
Yeah.
And their parents are not just taking the knowledgeable action of just saying, yeah, this is my fault. This is maybe not what I am coming forth with. And it's like lies. And it's noticeable. I mean, I've almost basically researched so much about my mother that I think she has Asperger's and she has some other things.
What?
She,
what do you think
herself,
she has?
Just doesn't want to admit.
What do you think besides Asperger's? Because I agree with you. What do you think?
I forgot the other stuff. I don't have that in front of me right now, but I did take the time one day to do that because it was just bothering me habitually.
Let me, I'm qualifying this. I'm not sitting in assessment of your mom. I'm not her doctor, but I've been concerned there's something on the schizoaffective spectrum. So look up schizoaffective disorder and things like that, and you see if some of that doesn't ring true for you.
And what does schizoaffect mean? For other people who are like, okay, like, if I have the same conversation or same similar things that I'm exampling by watching Farrah and maybe her mother or somebody else's relationship, like what does schizoaffectiveness disorder mean?
It's a pretty broad category, and it's people that have a mood disturbance, but they also have kind of a thought problem where they distort things and their thinking isn't always right, and they sort of think things that aren't
especially
really
under
there.
Stress. And
yeah,
they create stress, and then they don't think correctly under stress,
they're kind of person for me. When I'm around people like that, I want more from them. And I feel like I always feel uncomfortable because it's like they just can't do it. They aren't. And it's a pretty broad category. But
talk more general because I'm more interested in what's going on, not with individuals, but what's going on in general. And what's amazing to me is these things where Farrah talks to her mom every day, all the time. And all the girls, they talk to their moms. And there's all this enmeshment. You're a grown woman running your own life.
But
screw your mother at a certain point.
Well, that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
That's true. But
millennials feel guilty when they do that, Drew.
Yeah.
Like, listen, you know,
but there's a pragmatic issue, too, though. I mean, she's a single mom. She needs manpower. She needs help from her family. I mean, that's a fact, right? Is that not true, Farrah?
I don't really need unhelpful manpower. Yeah, sorry. I'm just going to say. Okay, sorry. People are, like, checking on me. Thought I was, like... No, I don't really use my mother as manpower. I just more so am so crushed when, you know, like grandparents and other people cannot be around to show that love and that support to my daughter, who definitely has a whole lot of love to give to everybody in my family.
Do you mean her dad's parents? They seem like they've been pretty good.
Sophia's grandmother on her dad's side, you know, lied to Social Security about her benefits, took me to court for grandparental rights.
Oh, my God.
Just was... very, very evil.
Welcome to America.
When I was depressed.
Wow, the guy, the grandfather, seemed like kind of like a recovering guy. He sort of used a language that
was... Well, the grandfather, Grandpa Jerry, who's been in the show, is always super supportive. And okay. Yes, he's been part of a recovery program for alcohol and his wife. And they've been free, you know, they're totally happy. They got their balance going back again. And have a very loving family structure. So I'm happy for them.
Okay, because he's a good, when he first showed up in the scene, I'm like, oh, that's a good one. He could keep that guy around.
And he's the one that tried to get custody?
No. His ex-wife, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was when he was in his thing. He was in his disease, that lady. That's still the carnage of his past.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so... It's in, you know, all this intergenerational stuff we also don't think enough about, but I'm starting to see people all of a sudden begin to talk about it again. Maybe it's the Trump world we're in or something that everyone's
talking
sort of
about what?
Realistically about the impact of multi-generational trauma and how that impacts, you know, that's what Farrah's talking about. You know, here we have her, the, I don't know if you know the whole story, but the Sophia's dad died in a car accident. And yeah. I'm going to bet alcoholic drug addict because his dad was alcoholic drug addict. His dad's now in recovery, and the dad's, you know, still dealing with his ex-wife as is Farrah now, and Farrah's dealing with her mom.
The ex-wife is the mother of the
baby daddy. Baby's dad. And Farrah's got her family stuff. You know, Michael's always been very forthcoming about his stuff, right, Farrah?
Yeah. Yes. You know, and I mean, I've learned even more about my dad through the family boot camp and many of his other struggles and everything that he has encountered. And, you know, through the family boot camp, my mother was very, like, disheartening towards a lot of the traumas that my dad has, like, tried to overcome as a man, which I think some things are hard for men to get over when they're traumatic experiences. And in which, if I would have known this growing up and if my family would have been more open with this, I think I would have come together in a much different way now that I'm 25.
And yet, one of the strangest aspects of all this, and I don't know why, you know, our biology or God or evolution did this, however you want to perceive it, understand it. There's a reason Michael was attracted to your mom, you know, and that reason is his trauma. And so they sort of found each other. Yeah. And so to want them to have been something different is sort of unrealistic because they were trying to solve their trauma through their relationship.
So who is helping at these camps you're talking about? Who are the clinicians doing?
Okay, before you ask the question,
I get very nervous about Michael Lohan and people from television. Running family groups.
They're real guys. We got to take a break. Okay. We'll be right back. Do not go to a physician's office. Do not go to the emergency room. Do not go to urgent care because you don't have to pay for all that infrastructure, all that personnel. You don't have to expose yourself to sick people. You don't have to wait. You don't have to leave your house. That is why I'm on the HEAL Advisory Board. This is the future of medicine. It is $99 all in. And if you have insurance, most insurances, it's just your copay. And you get a board-certified, carefully selected. These are hand-selected physicians by Renee Dua, the nephrologist that runs this program. And she selects every physician. And listen, go read the reviews. People are overjoyed by the care they get. These are high-quality professionals. And that's what you want. You want somebody who knows what they're doing, spending their time focusing on you. That's what you want. You want a well-trained professional just focusing on you. You don't want to pay for all the other personnel. You don't need it. You don't need it. Now with HEAL, you just go to HEAL, you get the app, or you can get a physician right now. They'll be there. They're guaranteed within 2 hours. And again, $99 all in if you don't have insurance. And if you do, it's usually just your copay with most insurances. HEAL is the future of medicine. This kind of efficiency. Forget the bureaucracy. Forget pre-clearance. Forget everything. Just go get the app. Heal.com is where you get the app. Get Heal before you need it. We're back now. We're talking to Farrah Abraham, of course, from Team Mom, Team Mom OG. And we were talking about this new We series she's in, which is family. It's called Family Therapy. Is that what it's called?
We TV Family Boot Camp every Friday night at 9 p.m.
And who are the clinicians?
One's a physician. One's a psychiatrist.
Dr. V and Dr. Ish.
Okay, Dr. V. Now, did she ever get her clinical psych? Dr. V, I used to use her on HLN. And she would always admonish me, and I'm not a clinical psychologist because she didn't have her clinical hours yet. But she was very bright and very good. The physician.
Yes. She was very good with traumatic therapy or trauma.
Yeah.
And that's what she was working on with my mother and I.
Good.
And so they're helping people understand.
Oh, yeah. And the psychiatrist seems well trained. I've sort of seen his stuff, and he seems good. They both seem very good. And so I have no quarrels with what they're doing. I mean, it's a little unrealistic to think that, you know, multi-generations can be solved in a boot camp, but at least in the boot camp setting,
you
get it out. That's right. And people get, and then
yes.
What I like is that the viewer then gets us educated about what's under the hood. You understand?
Exactly.
And that's yeah. what's nice. So go ahead, Bob. We only got two of your questions.
Well, that's
so far.
It. Okay. Okay. The other one is this phenomena of Teen Mom that I'm a little skeptical about, that it's decreased teen pregnancy.
It has. It's right? the Bob. They've
Who
done the
did
study.
The research? MTV.
No. Oh no.
Who?
Two independent university professors did two studies where they went into communities and they measured viewership versus probability of pregnancy, and there was an inverse relationship. Communities that had the highest viewership had the lowest teen pregnancy.
Have you talked to 16, 17, 18, 20-year-old kids? They don't want to have children. They don't want to bring children into this horror story of a world. I talk to them all the time.
I understand. There's
so there is a movement of pre – what's the next generation after millennials?
Gen Z or something?
The Generation Z, I have a lot of hope for.
Me too.
They are cautious about bringing people into the world. I've talked to them extensively.
But let me tell you that specifically this show has had an impact. They will say...
Well, it supported their idea already.
That's right. That's right. I'm not saying the trend wasn't already there, but it accelerated the trend.
There's another trend in this generation, which is they have 300% decrease in opiate use.
Oh, I know.
Right? So they wised up. They saw their brothers and sisters going to rehab and dying, and they said, no. So opiates, prescription opiates in particular, have been demonized to this generation and pregnancy.
Pot way up, though.
Yeah, pot way up.
So we're going to deal with that next.
So there's some hope.
Yeah, got it.
But I think that obviously on a surface level, you would think, you've become so famous. Some of the girls have become so famous on the cover. You can't go past a supermarket without seeing all the teen moms on every cover of every magazine. That has to inspire some young girls to want to have babies.
Doesn't.
Come on.
No measurable. Go measure it.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid of what the people tell you.
Bob, go measure it. What I can tell you.
I want to hear it
from Farrah, not you or a university. 100%
authentic here.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have decreased largely the awareness of teen pregnancy, the challenges, don't do this. I hope you understand. We want to improve your lives by showing this and sharing this.
Yeah.
So, yes, we've decreased it. We make history. About three times this has been shown over these, 9 years or 10 years or however long we've been doing this.
Let her answer.
I'm siding with you. But, yes, then you have those screw looses who are like, you know, but it's the same way with WAGs, you know, that show on E. Like, I'm going to go marry a football player or somebody famous. I'm going to go get knocked up. And they're not teens. These are 20-year-old, 30-year-old women who get pregnant for fame, for something. And it's you can't just blame Teen Mom when you have all of these other shows that cater to pregnancies, too, that are just really imaginarily made so that hopefully this screw-loose can go get famous or have whatever she wants that she's trying to attain.
So I just
don't rationalize with that because I'm an individual who is, I'm going to work hard. Whatever I need to make happen, it's going to be from me, validated by me. Others are very different. And I've witnessed that with, I'm talking with Ocho Cinco and Kendra Wilkinson and some of these others who have very much just been open about all of the, you know, their friends and their scenarios with this. So I think you can't blame a teen mom for that.
I just trust kind of like what I know around. So the people who run intervention they have all the research you have from all these universities. Their success rate with drug addicts is astronomically higher. The TV show
with
Intervention.
That makes sense.
They have all the documented evidence that these people succeed at a higher rate than most.
You and I saw that. We were surprised that we saw that the television cameras motivate.
They motivate, but not at a 60% rate like they're saying. They pay to have who researched it. I don't want to get into it. I don't trust it.
No.
I have the right not to trust it.
Independent research. Now, it may be wrong, but the research is unassailable.
It's fair in America to say, regardless of what you're saying, I see alternative motivation.
Can I just say fuck research for a second? We've talked about it enough. But I also wanted to ask you, what would you say to the drug addicts or people who are trying to figure out their lives through their depression, like Caitlin and Tyler on Teen Mom, like some of the others who drink excessively much. Why don't we talk about those things, some helpful things that you've learned in your life, and what would you say back? And maybe Amber, she has her own side issues too. There's other ways that you guys can help, and I think sharing some of that from watching it would be helpful.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, I mean, Amber and I have talked a million times about what's going on there. And here's the problem with addicts and alcoholics. You can't force them to do anything, and Bob and I know that. You can only sort of lead them to water, or as Abraham Lincoln says, you know, give them a drop of honey as opposed to a gallon of gall, unless you have leverage. I don't have any leverage. I'm in April, you know, Caitlin's mom, I busted her balls a little bit because she's been in recovery. She knows what that is, and she has an impact on Caitlin if she gets sober, gets back into her sobriety. Butch, I've had conversations with Butch off air trying to keep him sober because he's motivated. They really want to stay sober. They Caitlin's mom knows better. Butch wants it. He keeps screwing up, but you know, there he is. Caitlin and Tyler are in that group of millennials that think pot is no big deal and it's affecting them and they're not aware of it. They will get there one day when they'll ask questions about it. In terms of Amber and drinking, she knows. Amber knows. She had long sobriety in the program. She was connected to it, and it's not a priority right now, and she's sort of trickling along, and it's working for her. Until that doesn't work, we got to kind of go along with it because it's hard work to stay sober. It's really hard, and people have to be motivated. If they're not motivated, they won't do it.
Enmeshment doesn't help. Enmeshment is at the root cause of a lot of this trouble with millennials and drugs and them getting sober. Mm-hmm. Best friends
with
parents.
And what is the root cause? Sorry, I couldn't hear.
I would say the enmeshment, especially with parents. You have parents running around town chasing kids into rehab rather than just saying, I'm not giving you money anymore. You're 30 years old. I'm not giving you any money. That's boundaries. Mm-hmm. So boundaries over best friendism or being liked, or this is what I constantly try to help millennials' parents understand. But for some reason, you're a bad parent if you turn your back. What if she dies? What if she turns to prostitution?
And
what if she takes – here's the deal. I can be so harsh. I'm a good, nice person most of the time, but I can be harsh. You don't have say. If you raised a girl who will turn to prostitution because you won't pay her cell phone bill and give her money, that problem's you created a long time
ago. That's a bigger problem.
Yeah. So this idea of why millennials' parents are so enmeshed with their drug addict children, and I see it on Teen Mom, the enmeshment of moms with the girls.
Oh, sure.
This is what's wrong with our society, I believe. Okay. We'll always have drug problems. We'll always have teen pregnancy problems. My mom was 15 when she gave birth to me in 1961. It's not like it got invented in the 80s or MTV invented it.
Again, our parents had very good boundaries, but it was our desire to be free that blew the boundaries apart. So go back to that concept again. That's true. So we sort of set it up.
So for the girls on Teen Mom, I think having a boundary is critical to their success of being a mother themselves, everything in their lives. That's it.
Go ahead, Farrah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just agreeing. I was agreeing. I honestly feel like there needs to be some boundaries with the interaction of production with them and other things. And then I also see, you know,
there you
just,
go.
Like,
Drew, wait, Farrah.
We have these amazing sponsors and government sponsors who are like, let's be the generation that ends cigarette smoke. So it's happy when you run up like Gen X or Gen Z and they're really seeing the effects of what alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, all these things do to somebody's brain, body, functionality, or economy. And instead of dumbing us down, I think we just need to be about the action. And I'm happy that we talked about this.
So Farrah, let's go back to you, if you don't mind, for a minute before we let you go. Is that what have you learned about your own condition? What is it you – because you said some stuff to me the last time we sat down for a reunion, and it was profound, and it didn't go on TV. I was shocked.
Of course.
And so I'm going to give you a chance to describe what you understand about your own stuff right now.
So my own stuff, my stuff is that we mostly work on and focus on Teen Mom, is bereavement, and maybe I've been through depression and those things. Probably my main goal was to find security and understanding and why some relationships of mine are not panning out the way I want, which I understand who I mesh with.
How? How do you know that?
Who always have an yes.
Why? What do you mesh with?
My ex, like my mother. Yeah. I was recently asked in OK Magazine, why is it that you don't get along with two people that you hold closest to you, which was my mom
there
and
you
was
go.
Simon.
That's the root of it all, Farrah, right there.
Yeah. traumatic right now.
And I just realized, and I came to understanding, that I'm no longer going to be showing love or connection towards others who, no matter what I do and work my hardest on, to show love, kindness, connection in some way. If you have a negative outlook towards me, that is something that I can never change. So I honestly have just been surrounding myself with better women, better men. I've been happily single. I've been having a relationship that is good with my mother and I, and how I see fit, which is, if that's not talking to me, that is good, because that is where our relationship always needed to be. And then I've had a lot of people just always say, well, you don't get along with production, you don't get along with your castmates, well, you're the common denominator, you're the problem. You can always say that I'm the problem, but just understand, I grew up hearing that I was always the problem. And I think when you're telling somebody things that are hurtful and dishonest, when that person has integrity, trustworthiness, probably the best loyal friend that you're ever going to find, I've just realized I have to alienate myself from situations, again, that just want to make me the villain, the problem. So I'm not fighting anymore, and I'm not hanging out with those groups. And I think, as we've been seeing on MTV, that I've just really changed a lot. I don't really care to bicker or fight or associate, and it's a job. It's a job.
Will you be on time when we have our next reunion? That's what got everyone all upset last time.
It wasn't me not being on time. It was me asking Larry, who isn't trustworthy or honest or has no integrity of professionalism, when somebody's ill, sick, and just flew in that morning from another work, I'm just continually working, and says it's okay, and they adjust the schedule so other people can go and they can leave. No, instead, they held other people back, didn't adjust the schedule, wanted to blame me for their fuck-ups. And again, I'm ill. I still showed up. I still worked. And I left earlier than everybody else did in the whole building, because they were more focused on what? Negativity and hatred and unprofessionalism, which I don't stand for.
Well, to be fair, a couple things. You told me you were doing dialectical behavioral therapy. Is that still something you're engaged in?
And I do. Okay. I continue to do therapy and invest in myself. Right, so hold on, the best thing.
That's good. And you also said, you mentioned a certain kind of personality style that you thought you had, that one of the doctors told you.
Type A?
Well, no, you said
Type A?
No. You are definitely type A. But you are, Cluster B, we call that. You said something about borderline personality one time to me. Is that still something that you...
Oh, no, I don't have a borderline personality disorder. That's not ever what I have been told by my therapist, so I don't quite understand where that popped up.
You said that. You said it to me. But that's fine. That's fine. And so let me ask this. You have a tendency to be aggressive, and I think that brings some of the stuff on you that you don't like. Right.
Can I help for one
please,
second?
And aggressiveness is stemmed from being misunderstood.
No. But hold on, Farrah, because you and I sound a lot alike. And that's probably why I identified with you or liked you. So what happened with me is I would get frustrated with production, frustrated with everything, fighting everybody, everything. And I had to look at myself with the help of a therapist and say, why am I here? And I was really overlooking how much I benefited from these situations that I was so frustrated by, and everybody's a phony, right? So I had to say, I do.
But phony. But remember, phony is back to our generation. We were very focused.
What do millennials call it?
Intolerant. They call it intolerant.
So, anyways, you know, when you just, I'll show you when you said production. Right, that they're demonizing your behavior, and you're butting heads with them all the time. I butted heads with them all the time because I didn't like what was happening. But what I had to say to myself with the help of a therapist is, well, I'm signing up to do this, and I know that with this comes a bit of exploitation, a bit of stirring the pot, because I can solve all the drama of teen moms. Don't have the moms on with the teen moms. You won't have any TV show. Right? And you
that's
you,
right.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. So it's a TV show that has to have character arcs and has to have drama. And I was a part of a TV show, and I was fighting it because I was ignoring the fact that what it was a TV show. It's not idealized life.
No,
and so you have to accept it. You're the most high functioning one of all of them. They're going to fucking hate you. That's the way life is. But
that is.
You can't let it destroy you or let it hurt your internal world. That's what therapy's for. It's like, listen, I know my role. I'm the villain. Okay.
And the other thing is, I was trying to raise with Farrah, if she gets, you know, aggressive about stuff. If she didn't get aggressive, I think things would settle themselves a lot. People would cool out around her quite a bit.
And yeah, so you change you and the world will change around you, or it won't, and you won't be bothered by it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
How is Sophia, by the way? We haven't talked about her yet. How's she doing?
Sophia's good. I cannot wait to see her. Hopefully she has some surprises like she always has for Mother's Day. And her store's been doing great, her boutique, and she was having some princess parties and all this stuff. So my little boss is doing good, and I love her so much, and I can't believe she's 8. I'm very proud of her.
And are you getting along better with some of the other girls at the OG group, or is it still kind of a split?
Oh, no. I don't speak with anyone. I think it's better that way.
Why did you ask that question?
Because I didn't know.
I don't share my thing.
I'm worrying about...
As you know, Dr. Drew,
yeah.
Last time they made it all about me anyway.
Well, that's what I'm worried. I know. I'm worried about it.
Let me cease the jealousy. Let me cease the hatred. I don't share stages anymore, and I think they all should just stay far, far away from me.
And I'm worried about our next gathering, Farrah. That's what I was leaning towards. But the other thing, Farrah has I was telling Bob about this. You've been brought into some exploitative circumstances that you regret, I think.
I think we all have. But you know, when we look back, they're learning experiences, and I'm thankful that I've had some horrific learning experiences so that I can make better choices.
And I you don't really get a chance to talk about that very much, doesn't seem to me. And I want to give you a chance to, if you have anything to say about it, tell Bob about it because he was curious. Go ahead.
I just honestly don't feel like talking about that, but I do agree with boundaries and understanding of placement, so I don't create this whole environment around me that is just exceedingly dramatic or negative around me. So that's just more so what I'm working for.
Are you still? And you said you're seeing a therapist. You've had your own therapist for a while now, right?
Yeah, and she's actually moved on in her life. And I think we're no matter what, we're always cordial and we talk. And she helps me find different therapists when I need one. And
good.
Because I always just like, you know, it's like hot yoga or something. I just crave it, just being healthy and mentally, physically. So I've had some in Austin, and I'm getting ready to find one in Los Angeles, since I'll be working there more for a couple months.
Oh, good. So you live in Austin and the Valley in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, the hills in Los Angeles.
The hills. So good. All right, this is your thing, Bob. She's you're the big fan.
I love talking with you guys.
It's
Thank you
fun.
For having me.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Don't let them get to you.
And,
all right. Well, happy Mother's Day.
Wait. One other thing. What? One other thing that I always like to give Farrah a chance to, like, because no one listens to her side of things. You know, they start going off into the sunset. Should we call it a costume? We saw each other at the movie awards, and she got some criticism for how she was dressed. Do you want to address that at all?
The MTV Movie Awards and TD Awards for the first year is what they were really trying to promote, was amazing. I wore a bendy and, like, you know, some Indian culture dress-up dress.
Yeah.
And it's every day in their culture. But I guess in America and some of the hatefulness, they thought it was a costume, and Farrah wears costumes. But then the backlash that they got from India and other, like, fashion bloggers and things is, you know, that's disrespectful. Acting like that's just a costume and whatnot. And I still have my henna on. I, you know, with my ex was Indian, and I'm around, I am like around Indian culture so much. So I'm happy that I brought that to the red carpet. And I think our American red carpet hopefully will have more culture.
Yes, she said.
What was the big deal?
I know she was explicit that this is her little nod to Bollywood. But I'm going to give Susan a chance, whom you made out with at the movie awards. A chance.
I made out with her.
We didn't make out. She just kissed me.
I just got a picture of that. But you thought the outfit was great, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the MTV Movie TV Awards. Yeah. And everybody dresses up a little bit and wears something funky and fun. It's not like you show up, you know, on the right. I mean, it was it was
we were surprised. We were surprised that she got criticized. I was surprised she got criticized.
Well, I mean,
to me, it's just the more social media
maybe
bullshit.
Maybe she'll just get criticized anything she does.
It's absolutely. That's my point.
That's part of it.
That,
so you got
to
have you ever seen what Rihanna wears to the VMAs? I mean, come on. Their boobs are hanging out, everything. So it's not like, I mean, I honestly think that you're going to take a little bit of heat for anything you do in your life.
Yeah.
Just
so
because of
be
who you
tough,
are.
Be strong. You're tough. You're strong. Get some good, better friends around you and ignore it all.
Susan, you have any questions before we let her go?
No, I'm just, you know, really happy that she came on the podcast and we look forward to maybe doing it again. We can continue this conversation.
For the record, I wish you, the four of you guys would get along again. It was always better when everyone did support each other because you are in a very unique.
But that's not good television, Drew.
I understand that. But they are in a unique, they've lived their life in a unique manner that only they really understand.
Life in public from 16. I know. I couldn't stand it at 40. I don't know.
And you know what? Being a mom is the hardest job in the world.
That's right.
So, you know, being.
Yes.
And being a mom publicly and stuff.
I always thought I was a good mom, but apparently I'm not. So.
No mom.
I mean, I think no matter what mom, I mean, even me, you know, my daughter has cruel things to say on some days, but I think, you know, my love for that outshines any of that. So
your job is to,
as a mom, does that.
Your job is to suck up those punches. I'm sorry, but that's what it is.
Prepare them for the real world. That's what I'm doing.
That's what the boundary is. The boundary is I'm not going to let that in. I'll sit here.
It's hard though.
Absorb the punch.
And you don't dance.
That's the plan. Yeah.
That's hard though, Farrah. Not dancing when it happens. Just ignoring it and letting it go. Drew taught me that.
Yeah, I'm really happy you use that language because it's just getting off the dance floor. We used to use our patients all the time. Like, don't dance with them.
Especially
just
girls.
Off the floor.
The boys are pretty cool.
Well, they'll have girls their own. They'll have their own version, trust me. Farrah, thank you so much. I wish you the best out there in Pittsburgh, and I'll see you whenever we're not scheduled soon. Are we scheduled a thing?
Yes, in June. I'll see you in June.
Oh, my God. I got to come to that.
Oh, she is in June.
Is that you guys? I thought it was Teen Mom 2 I was doing. Is this the first weekend of June?
I'm sure they clustered all the girls together in one weekend. But, yes, so June 2nd, 3rd.
Okay, so I will see you there. So please try to heal with the other guys before I get there.
I don't put up with bullying either.
I know.
Just
Farrah.
So,
hey, but listen,
if anyone's going to be the leader, it'll be me. No bullying.
Farrah, get there late and give them something to talk about.
Bob,
okay.
Why don't you bring a taser this time? You can just
for who?
I don't know.
Taser. Amber needs the taser.
Anyways,
I'm joking.
One other thing. So just to clear this up too. Farrah and I, one of the reasons we got in a little bit of a conflict last time we were together, it got confusing and legitimately confusing for her because Theo Vaughn, who's, you know, for Theo, has been on the show a couple of times. I was on his podcast and he went, "Oh, who are the teen moms you hate?" And I was like, "I don't hate the teen moms." I said, "You know, but sometimes Farrah drives me crazy. I want to kill her." What I meant was,
listen.
And what I said was, because I want this completely.
I want to strangle her.
I said I wanted to strangle her because of the things that had happened to you that I was trying to save you from. Again, I'm a big saving guy. And I was like, God, I want to strangle you. You made those choices. But, you know, as you say today, those are choices that you learn from. And, you know. But that's what that was about.
And you know what? It's so odd that you mentioned Theo or whoever. He actually, like, texted me the other day trying to hang out. So hopefully when we're all in L.A., we can go out or something.
He is an interesting guy.
He's really nice.
Yeah, we will do
but
that.
But he knows you're single, too. So you're single, right?
Sort of.
Yeah, I'm single.
Yeah, he is, too. So.
But you know what? I'm not really, like, interested in dating. I just solely love to just focus on friendships right now. Again, with lots of the work I was talking to you guys about.
It's good.
It's just, like, I like my friend time. I like just people time. And that's, like, about it.
All right, Farrah. We'll let you go. You spend enough time with us.
Thank
we
you
really
so much.
Appreciate it. I'll see you in a couple
guys.
Weeks. All right, see you
later. Happy Mother's Day, Susan. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You too. Let's mention her marriage boot camp show, too, really quick.
Well, she said it. She talked about it several times.
Yeah, it's on Fridays on
Fridays
Wii.
At 9 o'clock.
And then her Twitter, if anybody needs to know, is F1 Abraham.
And trust me, this conversation, I will be criticized for this conversation.
Yeah, I know. So will I for talking about Chrissy watching Teen Mom.
No. The reason I'll be criticized, is that everybody wants to feed into a split. The split is Farrah's bad, we're good, side with us, side with her. And she was feeding that just a minute ago, too. I was trying to get her not to do that.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
By taking aim at Amber and stuff. I was like, look, stop it. You are all in a unique position. There's reasons that you piss each other off. Don't be aggressive or you're going to push people away. find a way to heal with those four because you were in a very
really
unique position.
But really, if you were really, if you wanted to say, do you want to do some healing, don't do it on camera. I mean, the chaos
that's
is called...
That's their job. It's their life. That's what
really?
She said. That's they what don't... she said. That's my job. You heard her say
that's
it.
That's the other mom's job, too? They don't have, like, jobs?
No, this is their job.
This is their job?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's leave it with that.
All right. Well, wait. Am I okay? But it's not really their job. I mean, they have. I'm on. Am I on?
Yes, you're on. I hear
okay.
you.
They have other endeavors. They're now adults. Like,
no, I understand,
like
but
Amber
other...
now has a clothing and a makeup line.
That's right,
and...
but that all is because of their primary job, which is doing this reality
show.
Well,
they got paid on the show.
Well,
and
no, I don't mean that that's their primary source of income. I'm just saying it's a job. They agreed to do the job.
They have to be followed by cameras 24/7.
Yeah, and they do it. It's a job they've signed up for. And that job fosters other endeavors and things that they're into. That supports them now.
It's
I mean, listen, they should be paid for what they do.
I know, of course, per episode. But do the moms get paid? Did their
teen
mom's moms get paid?
It's an interesting question. I don't
that
know.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, they're under contract too, I think. They have to
at
this
God.
Point.
Probably. I don't know. Right. I'll ask that when I go see
Well, it's amazing.
You'll be in New York in a couple weeks? You come join me.
Is that in June?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Come on.
I'm going to New Orleans on the 18th.
Oh, the week before, spent with us in New York.
Oh, that's funny.
To watch Teen Mom's reunion shows. I wish it was in L.A.
It will be at
We
some
do
point.
Them sometimes here, too. All right. We're going to take an extendo break, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Out to my love